told Beth, I said, don't put that title on there. I said, I really don't know, excuse me, where I'm going necessarily. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes God don't want a just a written out script, you know. There's faith, you use faith to do the written out script, but then you also use faith when you got what you feel like is nothing. You just open your mouth and let him feel it, amen? But after last Sunday, about probably midweek, I started having this sense, no, that was right on the same thing. So I told Beth, put the same title on that. So that would be part three. This one will be part four, because that's the title we're going to use this morning, the God that never changes. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. For time's sake, we're going to start in verse 4. Beth, I'm going to read these out of the KJV. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. And one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Now this says some, not everybody in the church is going to be these, but there will be some. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Then he's going to tell us why. He says, for the perfecting, or you could say maturing, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why he gave all five of these, right? Goes on, and he's not finished yet. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. We're not there yet. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're not there yet. Unto a perfect, or you could say mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Excuse me. Now go back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles. Do we still have them today? I'm going to get into something here that we're going to have to talk about some things about some wrong teaching and believing that's out there. But he says some apostles and some prophets. Are there still prophets today? And some evangelists. Are there still evangelists today? We just had one last week, right? What was it, 43 plus years he's been an evangelist? And he doesn't just say it in name. He also has the gifts and the callings that goes along with that of an evangelist, right? Over there in 1 Corinthians, what is it, chapter 12, where he talks about all the gifts of the Spirit, just like a prophet. Anybody can prophesy. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Let's go on with this here before I do get ahead. And some evangelists and some pastors. Is there still pastors today? Yes, and teachers. Is there still teachers today? Yes. Why? Because verse 12 through the rest of it has not been fulfilled, so therefore none of these can be done away with. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians 13. There's teachings out there that the apostles and the prophets have been done away with. Y'all haven't heard about that? That cannot be true. Cannot be true. There's not a person in this room that can find me two scriptures that go together that tells me that the apostles or the prophets or both or any of them has been done away with. Why? He says we need all five. Why? To do the equipping, to do the perfecting, right? Everything that we just read, he didn't say, well, I'm going to do it with these two or these three. He give all five. Just like this, you do not have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in tongues to be born again. That is not the requirement. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You go over to, what is it, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that he talks about salvation, how you get born again. So that's not a requirement. But after you get born again, if you do not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues, you are handicapping yourself. Why? Because we need everything that God sent us. If we didn't need it, he would not have sent it. Why? Just like this, for an example. I'm born again, but I only know what I know up here. Now, can I pray being led by the Spirit in my own natural tongue? Yes, I can. But how many knows, only to a point can you do that. Now, when you pray in other tongues, you pray out things out of your spirit, man, with the help of the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you, that your head does not even know or comprehend. I can be praying for somebody, I don't have a clue. I could be praying for a situation, you could, that you don't know anything about. So do you have to have all that to go to heaven or to be born again? No. But just think about, I mean, it's really kind of prideful if you don't. Why? Because you're not realizing the need that you have for the gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ to us and for us for the times. Because that's kind of like saying, I already know everything I need to pray. Really? Are you serious? You don't even know what you need to do tomorrow. You better hear what I'm telling you. He is the God that knows all things. All things inside the heart and mind of man and all things out here in the natural. So I need him. I need the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. And there are times that you can, pray in tongues or whatever, and God can give interpretation or understanding to your mind. I've had that happen before several times that I don't have a clue what I'm praying, but I'm just praying in other tongues. And all of a sudden, right down in here, it's like it floats up and I begin to see and I begin to understand. Now, just like this, why am I bringing that up? Just like this. Do you have to have all five? No. There's people that they believe there are no modern day prophets, that there are no modern day apostles. Are they still going to heaven? Yes, if they're born again and they serve the Lord. But how many realizes you're handicapping yourself so much? Because one of the things that's going to God is going to bring back to the church in the last days is the apostolic and the prophetic anointing. Why? Because we've got Christians, they've got things to do, but they don't even have the very basics worked out in their life. The apostles deal with the basic, foundational. Didn't the Bible say that it's built upon the apostles and the prophets? Yeah, that's what it says, right? The Bible says in the Old Testament, he says, believe the prophet in what? Do bad. What's he say? Y'all know? Believe the prophet and prosper. Prophets deal with things that other people don't deal with. Just like this, can you prophesy? Yes, you can. Be born again, you can prophesy by the Spirit? Absolutely. But does that make you a prophet? Absolutely not. Gosh, y'all getting way too quiet. We've actually been over this stuff a long time ago in 1 Corinthians 12 when we talked about all the gifts and their operations. Y'all remember that? So they're still in operation today. So just like if I can be born again but not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and pray him with other tongues, which is so needful for the Christian, for the body, for the church, right? But then I can be born again and I can go on and I can listen to just pastors and teachers. How many knows, if you just eat potatoes all your life, you may be kind of fat. They turn into a cup of sugar, I think, one potato. See, I know all this stuff. I don't look like I do it because I don't do it, but it don't mean I don't know it. But why am I saying that? Because you can just listen to the pastors and the teachers like that, but how many knows you're not going to get nutrients that you would just eating potatoes if you ate potatoes and turnip greens and spinach and broccoli and cauliflower and carrots. Why? Every one of those has different vitamins in it. Some the same vitamins, but some of them are different. It's the same way with the ministry. That's just like this. Whenever we was going to Faith Restoration, very good church, always loved it. They taught us a lot of things, but there was nobody there that had what you would say great revelation about financial prosperity. So what does God do? Raises up one. How does he raise him up? He takes from what is not inside our church, off of TBN and other places, and let me say this. There's some that they are totally against financial prosperity. Don't believe God does it. Don't believe the principles that we lay out and that we teach. And that's fine. You won't be bothered with it. Get what you can believe for. That's what you get. Whatever you can believe for, that is the truth. Well, lo and behold, we're listening to TBN, you know, and they have these praise-a-thons. And, I mean, at this time, all we have is what's called Sky Angel TV. So it is all day and night preaching of some sort. And Andy Griffith and I think some other kind of show, maybe Ponderosa, okay, something like that. So that's all the TV we have. Well, then, and I have it on that all the time. And then when they do the praise-a-thons, they bring in all these different people. Actually, TBN is the first place that I come across Ron Carpenter. His ministry was already going, but when he got on that platform, God took him, boom, to a whole different level. Why? Because you got a bigger platform. You're on TV now and all that stuff. But anyway, to make a long story short, you've got these people coming in there that we hadn't heard about before, a lot of them. You got Ron Carpenter coming in. You've got Jesse Duplantis, you know, all of the ones that you hear on TV today. You got Leroy Thompson. I don't see him on TV much anymore, you know. Y'all ever seen him or heard him? He's a black man, and he's the one that coined the phrase, "Money cometh to me now." Y'all should be way more excited. So you've got all these things going on, you know, and sure, they're taking up offerings, you know, to fund TBN and to give to ministries and different things like that and stuff, you know. Do I believe that all of it was 100% God? Probably not. Do you realize everything I say up here is not 100% God? Why? My personality gets involved with this. My own thinking can get involved with this. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? But now, does that mean that there was no principles of financial prosperity that ever come through that TBN? Absolutely not. Because we didn't have it at our church, God raised up another ministry and made sure he put us in connection with that ministry to get inside of us what he needed inside of us. He didn't have us change our church. He just brought us something that was not in our church. So lo and behold, and because like I said, probably there may have been some there, they're doing it for money. I have no idea. I don't think so. Surely not. But I mean, things happen. You know what I mean? Not everybody's real. Not everybody's right. But Scotty, God is placed on the inside of him, and he doesn't even know it at the time, has chosen him to teach God's people how to prosper, especially financially prosper. Well, lo and behold, I mean, we're watching this stuff day and night, you know, and it's the singing going on. And I mean, one point, Travis, he's probably the size of Aiden, you know, and we got TBN. That boy, the Spirit hits him, and he goes and he runs around and around and around the coffee table. I mean, just like the Spirit just hit him or something. So this stuff was always good and exciting to us. Well, lo and behold, all these things that they're saying, Scotty will get a little nugget here about financial prosperity. I'm not talking about just what they say. I'm talking about a scripture. And then you'll get another little nugget over here and another nugget over here, you know, and another one over here, one from this minister that comes on there, one from that minister, and then it makes the scriptures make sense. And y'all know how this goes, right? Well, there's others, they would not even watch that. I even have family members that they would not even watch that. They don't believe in that. They believe that's wrong. They do not believe in God sending financial prosperity and all of those other things. Now, you tell me what made the difference. The Bible says a willing heart makes a hearing ear. The Lord told me here a while back, he said, you should be able to hear junk, 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 truth word, junk, 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 and discern it. So what made the difference? Some could hear that, some couldn't. Some thought it was a bunch of rubbish, some treated it as valuable and precious. What made the difference? The heart. So why am I saying all that? Just like now. There's some, they don't believe God sends financial prosperity, so therefore you get what you can believe for. Not what he's done, but what you can believe for. I get what I can believe for. If I can believe for the hundredfold, I can obtain the hundredfold. Why? He have got scripture for it. He's given it, right? Well, There are those that believe the apostles and the prophets have been done away with. Because the church was birthed and started, we don't need the apostles and prophets anymore. But there's no scriptures that attest to that. There's none that say that. So therefore, I want 100% of the fivefold ministry in my life that God has to me. Why? I have no idea what God has for me later on in the future unless it's revealed. Neither do you. Scotty had no idea that God had chosen him to teach God's people how to financially prosper. But he had a desire, Johnny. Now, we didn't know what that meant. All he knew is he had a desire. And lo and behold, y'all know how the story goes. Apostle Bill Barrio calls him up there, and he tells him, he said, "You are the one that wants to have a fistful of dollars. You are the one that wants to bless, that wants to be a blessing to the people." And then he laughed and he said, "God, you have chosen him to teach your people how to prosper." But he didn't come through our church. And there was some at our church. Oh, here we go. I mean, whew, Scotty's got it now. I mean, he's on fire. He was always embarrassing to me because I'm quiet. I maybe twice testified in 8 years, you know. I'm kind of like some of y'all. I say nothing. If you want to shake my hand, you better move on to this side of the room because that's where I sit. I get in my spot and I don't move. Now, Scotty, he's like Aiden. Testimony. Woo! He jumps up like popcorn 3 times a week. And I'm like, "Would you sit down and shut up? You're causing people to look at us." But lo and behold, I mean, God just used him like that, you know. And I mean, people, they would go wild. But there was some that was in there, they didn't believe it either. Just like that saying, you know, that he has, if you have a need, plant a seed. Scotty didn't come up with that by himself. I believe that was Oral Roberts that first come out with seed faith. The teaching on that best that I can remember. There may have been some others that I don't know about. But guess what? Through that preaching and teaching through the TV, he got it. Got a need, plant a seed. So he would get up there, you know, they started asking him to take up tithes and offerings quite often, you know, most of the time. And he would say these things. And I remember one time he was in the shower and God told him he was going to take up tithes and offerings. And he showed him a motorcycle, that the blinkers work on the motorcycle. The engine runs on the motorcycle. It'll go. But there's one problem. The master link is missing out of the chain. That motorcycle ain't going nowhere. Why? Everything on the motorcycle's fine. But until you get that right master link in that chain, that motorcycle will never go anywhere. How many knows tithing is the basic where you start? Because don't be expecting blessing if you're robbing. I mean, thief breaks in my house, I'm not going to say, "Hey, here, you forgot the $100 in my billfold." Wouldn't that be dumb? You think God's any different? And he never changes. He never changes. Why am I bringing all that up? Because we need the fivefold ministry. If I was the devil, I would do the same thing. Wouldn't you? He wouldn't be the devil if he didn't. So, with all of that said, I have a little clip that I wanted to play. Y'all have heard me talk about Kim Clement. He was a prophet to the nations. There's some that they could be prophets in this house and prophets to churches around here. Then God raises up some, they prophet to the nations. That's pretty much what they talk about is national stuff. So we'll watch this little clip. And in this clip, I want you to listen real close, and I want you to tell me on the timeline of God's scale if we're found anywhere in this prophecy. Go ahead, Beth, and make sure it's loud enough that it's heard real good.
America and Israel and Western nations, you shall put your fist down on Turkey. You shall put your fist down on Russia, Syria and Iran, ISIS. Heads have been taken from children. I do not like that, says the Lord. Therefore, I have come to the earth to examine and to inspect, to see how I shall judge you in the presence of your enemies. No 9/11 attempt shall be to their satisfaction, says the Lord. No, but watch Chicago and watch Michigan. For there are terrors that draw closer and closer to banish the sounds of praise. Israel has praised me and shall continue. My people, Ecclesia, shall praise me and they shall continue. Therefore, I am the guardian of this nation and I will put a stop to it and expose in the fall until you realize that I have spoken and it is so, says the Lord of hosts. Come on!
Now, I had heard this prophecy before. And did y'all hear that? Heads of children have been taken. So that means in that part of this prophecy, we're a week behind, right? This is 2014. He could not have known that. No way except God. You can see the date up there on it. And he says, heads of children have been taken, and I do not like that, says the Lord. Well, when I heard the first time I heard that, just my carnal thinking, because you got to have interpretation from God too. Understand and see the timeline. Sometimes you got to see it right as it's happening to understand the timeline that you're at. When I heard that, I thought he was talking about, I thought he was talking about fathers, that a lot of fathers had been killed in the wars that he was talking about. So the fathers are the head, not of children. I got it wrong. The fathers are the head of families, not children. He's the head of families. So that is not what he was talking about. He's talking about exactly what we just saw, Hamas, which is actually ISIS. They all come from ISIS. They're just different name, Hezbollah and all that. I'm not going into all that. And he says heads have been taken from children. That happened, what was it, last Saturday our time? So where do you think we're at on this timeline? Right on it. Now, we have not seen Iran yet involved in it as far as fighting. We do through Hamas and ISIS and all of that. We have not seen Russia yet come here. We have not seen Syria and Turkey and all of that. So what do we know about this? If we're right there on that timeline of the beheaded little children that he's talking about, are we not real close on the timeline of the rest of it? Now, why does God do that? Why does he have prophets prophesy things, tell the future, and different things like that? There's several different reasons why he'll do that. Just like this, you know the timeline that you're on, right? We know the timeline where we are. Well, then another thing, he talks about on there the wars, Turkey, Syria, ISIS, Iran, Russia, all this. So you know there's going to be innocent lives be taken, right? You don't have war without it. Sometimes innocent people, they get hurt. So another reason why God does that sometimes is so we can pray. Do you realize we can pray and change things? Now, we can't change that war. It's coming. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. It's going to be there. But our prayers can change how many casualties at different times that there is. Just like me, I have been praying ever since I heard this and realized where we're at and what's going on in Israel and other places right now, and Ukraine and all this other stuff. God protect the innocent. God give wisdom. God reveal. God show. Help them, Lord, to do the things that they need to do where this can get over with quick. Lord, hide your people, God, in the cleft of the rock, so to speak, where they're protected. God, you said in your word that your name, God, that you are a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. So do you see how our prayers can affect things that is happening? Sometimes our prayers, they can change things. They can keep things from happening. Just like this, I believe it was, may have been Isaiah. I can't remember right off right now anyway. Went over and told Hezekiah, get your stuff in order, you're going to die. Y'all remember that, Old Testament? Well, he goes over there and he tells him before he can get out of the building. Hezekiah prays. Bible says he turns his face to the wall and he prays. And he starts talking to God. Before the prophet can get out of the building, God speaks to him. He goes back and he tells Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, you got 15 more, I'm paraphrasing, thus saith the Lord, you got 15 more years. That's how prayer changed that. because it was coming. Hezekiah humbled himself and he prayed. So there's things that God reveals, and he reveals so we can pray and we can change them. We can change the direction of some things. Why? Because, listen, this is not just a natural thing. It's fought in the natural, but then also just like this. One of the prophecies that he gives, excuse me, and he talks about, y'all remember the story about Daniel when he fasted and he prayed for 21 days. And the Bible says the angel came and told him, he said, I heard you, you was heard from on high the minute that you prayed. But the prince of Persia has been hindering me, but then Michael comes. Right? Y'all remember the story. Okay, there's coming what's called the beast from the east. Kim calls it China and Russia together. But there, China and Russia is not the beast from the east, but it is that same spirit. See, spirits don't change. God's not creating angels anymore. Satan can't create demons anymore. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? So these same ones has to get used all the time. So just like for this beast of the east that is coming that we will have to deal with later on, God said that it's that same one that withstood Daniel. But he said there will be nothing that'll hold us back. Why? Because now we have the Holy Spirit, we have the angel, and we have the church, the body of Christ. Therefore, there's no need to send Michael or anybody else this time. Why am I bringing? I'm not bringing that up for the problem. I'm bringing that up so you can see how this thing's happened. There are no new demonic spirits. You will deal with the same ones that they have dealt with from the beginning of the fall. There are no new spirits of God. The same spirits that was on some will be handed down to the others later. And that leads me up to this point. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. I guess I need to turn over there. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading verse 12. Now, leading up to this, y'all know the story about how Zacharias and Elizabeth, she was barren. They had no kids. He was a priest, and he was working in the temple this day. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. And he came and he told him he's going to have a son. And when Zacharias saw him, talking about the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now nobody in his family was named John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Notice this, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. That's talking about Elijah. Let me read in Amplified 17. And he will himself go before him, talking about Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children, and of the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge and holy love of the will of God, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed, and placed in the right moral state. But notice that 17. He will go before, talking about Jesus, him, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now I've heard some people, they talk about reincarnation, and they think that's what this verse talks about. How many knows he's the God never changes? He didn't reincarnate then, and he does not reincarnate now. That's a bunch of crap. There is no reincarnation. So what does this mean? Exactly what it says. See, I talked a little bit about it last week. Isaiah was a prophet. He prophesied, I don't know how many years, about Jesus, right? What is it, Isaiah 53? All of that, he'll bore our sins and shame and carry our sicknesses and pains and all of that. This was years before Jesus ever come on the scene. God is still wanting to raise up Isaiahs today. Do you understand? It's much needful. He wants to raise up Jeremiah's. Jeremiah was a prophet. He wants Jeremiah's today, just like he's come and he's made Kim Clement, which is going to be with the Lord now, a prophet to the nations. See, just like that prophecy, one of the things, Sandy, that does for me is it gives me hope. Because he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Y'all remember whenever God came to Abraham and he pondered about whether or not he's going to tell Abraham where he's going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it? Y'all remember that story? I believe it's over there in Genesis. I can't remember the chapter and verse right now. But the story over there in Genesis. And he stops by Abraham's house, or his place, tent, whatever. And he talks to himself, you know, should I tell him? And he makes the choice to tell him what he's going to do. Well, lo and behold, what does Abraham say? Oh, Lord God, appeals to God's mercy. God never wants to give judgment without mercy. But sometimes it happens to those that are proud and prideful and will not humble themselves. But anyway, that's another thing. So he goes and he tells him he's going to destroy Sodom. And I'm paraphrasing Sodom and Gomorrah and all that, you know. And a lot of people think it's just the homosexuality. No, that was a major thing, but they had sin after sin after sin going on. It was not just for that reason. But anyway, he tells him what he's thinking of what he's going to do and all of that. And Abraham, y'all know how the story goes. He begins to tell him, oh God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the city? God says, I will. Lord, if there's 40, if there's 30, 20, blah, 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 gets on down. He should have went on down to one, but he did not. But the reason why I'm bringing all this up, what does God do? He heeds to Abraham what he's asking. And he says, okay, I won't do it. What if he never went and told Abraham what he was going to do? Because he's not going to spare Lot or any of them. None of them spared. Y'all getting way too quiet. Can y'all see this or no? If he had not went to Abraham and told him what his plans was and revealed it, and you can say this is prophecy, whatever you want to call it. God is revealing to a man what he's going to do in the earth, and a man pleads before God to his merciful side and says, oh Lord God, if there's just 10. God says, okay, if there's 10, I won't do it. Well, God gathers up his stuff and he goes on down there, you know. What does he do? He spends the night and he tells Lot and his wife and his children and everybody, he says, get out of here. Get out of here and get out of here now and don't look back. In other words, you better take off running and don't you stop. And we know the story about Lot's wife. She looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. But the only reason why Lot and his family made it out was because God revealed his plans to Abraham. He's doing the same thing today through his prophets. Just like this, he is revealing what's coming. He's revealing what we have already seen happen now. He's revealing what's coming. Why? So we can pray. So we can begin to prophesy our words in line with God's words. Just like this. There's people, they think this is it. This is the last battle. Israel's going to be destroyed. Not according to that. And not according to written word, because God says Israel is forever. Forever. He will never allow any man or anybody to destroy it. And there's another teaching out there. I don't know if y'all have heard this or not. Probably so. I call it a replacement theology of Israel. Especially now that this is going on with Israel over there. You know, you talk to some Christians, you know, about Israel, and they say, oh, we are Israel. What? Are you serious? Give me one scripture, chapter and verse, where God said that Christians replaced Israel. You don't have one. But that is called replacement theology. And how many knows? It's wrong. We did not replace Israel. Thank you, Lord, that Israel did not receive him, all of them, the first time he came. That's how we got in. The Bible says we was grafted into the vine. Not we became the vine. Not we replaced the vine. But we was grafted in. And the Bible says that God would make one man with Jew and Gentile. One man, Christ. Right? So that cannot be right either. We do not replace. Nobody replaces Israel. Now, did we get in his beloved? Oh, yes. We are in the beloved, the Bible says. Now, so we see here that this God placed on John the Baptist, the same spirit that he placed on Elijah. That's not reincarnation. It's the same spirit. That's just like Scotty. He has on him because God chose him, not because he's smart, knows how to prosper. God knows the poor man didn't know how to prosper financially. Nothing we'd done was right. You know, pretty much concerning finances and everything. But I mean, it is the selection of God. It's not because one is great and one is not. It's just it is the plan of God. Just like what me teaching Sunday school. This was not my plan. I never had no plan for this. Did not want this. And but then now I've come to the point where, when it's Monty's turn, I'm like, Monty, hurry up. Come on, Sunday. Come on, Sunday. Not that not what Monty teaches is good or whatever. It's just you get used to an anointing and the presence of God that you flow in when you operate in those gifts that God has called you to where it can become addicted. To where I want to take Monty, Scotty, Sandy, to everybody's place. But you start out a lot of times, I would not pick me, Johnny. I'm just going to be honest with all of you. Compared to y'all, most of the time, I feel like the Apostle Paul said, the least of the least. Then I don't know, just because you wanted to is all I can say. In His mercy and in His grace. So why do I bring that up? Because God, He wants to raise up some and put the same spirit that He put on Isaiah in some today. The same spirit that He put on Jeremiah. In some today. Why? Because listen to history repeats itself. When you go and you read the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. You got people right now saying it's not a time for war. They're calling for Israel to stop, condemning them from cutting off the power and the water. And I thought, are you serious? What you want them to do? Go shoot each other with BB guns? Now they're not right. They're being cruel and inhumane because they cut off the water and power. And they ain't even got our hostages back and the Israeli hostages back yet, and they want them to stop. Are you serious? I'm not saying nothing. See, it's not. There's a time for war, the Bible says. There's a time for peace, the Bible says. There's a time to plant, the Bible says. There's a time to pluck up, the Bible says, right? There's a time for everything, but guess what it says? Everything under the sun that has been done shall be done again. Just like when you go and you read the Bible, there's some that's talking about Trump like he is Cyrus. Y'all know who I'm talking about in the Old Testament? It was a man that God raised up to deliver the children of Israel. But he was not a man of God. He was not a Jew. He was not an Israelite. Gosh, y'all getting really quiet now. See, we have this, though. Here we go. I heard this. I heard the Lord say this. God doesn't always have to or use a Jew or a Christian in the Bible or nowadays to accomplish His will. See, we say that's right, but here we go. Oh, my goodness. God gets me in trouble sometimes. Just like this. Excuse me. Get my glasses on here. God refers to Trump in the prophecies that Kim, a lot of the prophecies that Kim Clement has prophesied. He refers to him as Trump shall become a trumpet. He also refers to him as Trump shall become my David. Who was David in the Bible? But he was an adulterer. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Was he or not? So that tells me David, even though you've got God Himself, said it and had it written down, that he's a man after my own heart, but yet he's an adulterer. Now David repented of that, and they lost their child together because of that, because of the judgment of the sin that they did. But David, excuse me, he was not a perfect man. As far as perfect, let me tell you something. Let me help y'all if I need to. And let me include myself. Ain't none of y'all in this room 100% perfect in thought, word, and deed every day. All the time. Now, if you are, raise your hand and come get this microphone, because we, the rest of us, ain't there yet. Now, we're growing. We're becoming. That is the high calling, right? To become just like Him. And we're all on our way, striving, obeying, doing, learning, growing, getting revelation, developing, whatever it is that we need to do to get there, right? But ain't none of us there yet. Now, I got to deal with something because I got about 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness. So we see that David was not a perfect man as far as in the flesh, but God chose him, picked him, and used him, and anointed him. Said he's a man after my own heart. Religion will cause you to miss God. And I got to say this, and I'm sorry, but anyway. There are things, we're going to use Trump as an example. There are things that man says, I'm just like, I could have shared that on Facebook had you not said that word. I mean, it's good, 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 and then that word, oh, gosh. No, I can't share it because it's got that word in it. Tell me what scripture says shit's a curse word. Y'all, come on. Tell me. Give me one. Give me one. All you Bible people, give me one. Where shit is a curse word. How come when somebody says it, we go, gosh, I wish you wouldn't say that. Come on now, y'all laughing. This is a tactic of the devil. What's he say about traditions? Your traditions of men make the word of God to no effect. So who come up with that shit is a cuss word? Somebody bothers some of y'all. Shit, shit, shit. It's just bothering some of y'all to no end. That is not in the Bible. Ass. Come on. God says the word ass. Now, he's talking and referring to a donkey, I think, most of the time, if not all the time. We may use it in a little different context, but you tell me where he says you're going to go to hell if you say that word. You cannot be of God if you say that word. Oh, doo-doo's better. Doo-doo. Fart. See, that's one I don't like to hear that word. Let's just say we pooed it. Oh, Jesus, help us. I tell the kids, they let gas, and I say, oh, you pooed a rooter. Because I don't like that other word. We don't say that other word. Why don't we say the other word? Because I don't like it. But you give me one scripture against any of the words that I just said. Oh, I know one for y'all religious. Well, the Bible says, let all of our words minister grace to the hearer. Did that not minister grace to you? If I tell you, God's going to bomb the shit out of them. Did that minister grace to you? Did it make you feel good? Makes me feel good. What did he say? You're going to smack down on Russia. You're going to smack down on Syria. Makes me feel good. I don't care if he says you're going to bomb the hell out of them. We need to, because it needs out of them. You're not saying that. All this religious stuff. You can't give me one scripture for it, but how many of us in this room that if a Christian says those words that I just said, they can't be a Christian? We had a lady here, excuse me, one time. Yeah, some of y'all know who I'm talking about. She was a wild car boy. Under her wig, she had a green mohawk, carried a gun in her purse, and she was what they call a coonass. Y'all know what I'm talking about, do you? See, there's Cajun, and then they are what they call coonass. What that means is, a Cajun, you're on kind of the lower level, but a coonass, you are the scum with nothing. The poor woman never had a baby doll growing up, never had nothing. So poor, she couldn't hardly pay attention, never had a baby doll. When she grew up and got a job, you know that one of the first things she bought was a baby doll. Because she never had one. And that woman, she loved the Lord. If she didn't, I would have discerned it, or somebody would have, surely. But cuss, whoo! You'd think she's calling you out your name when you got done talking to her. And I talked to her about it one day. And she said, I don't think nothing about that. That's just the way we talk. Now, she didn't say the ones in the Bible that God says don't say. Blaspheming and calling him out his name and all this other stuff. See, we don't want to say shit and all this other stuff, but we'll say that damn car won't run. Y'all don't say enough. Do you realize that's a Bible word God says don't say? God says don't say that one. And do not attach my name to any of them. But you got people that do. Then, lo and behold, we can't say shit. But we'll say, I'm telling you right now, I think I'm getting a cold. I just feel so bad. I'm telling you, I need to go to the store and get me some. This is a curse words, full of doubt, fear, unbelief that Christians are talking every day and want to say, call the kettle over here black for saying shit. It's a tactic of the devil. Now, I'm not, excuse me, I'm not telling y'all to say these words. I don't say these words. Normally, I don't. I guess I do today. But I don't normally say these. But see, why is God bringing this up? Because God chooses people. I'm telling you, if you went home with me, if you went home with me, or if you went home with me years ago, and Scotty, he ain't what y'all think he is. I mean, he is, but he ain't. I mean, he gets upset sometimes. He's mean to me, D, sometimes, for no reason. And God will still use him to get up here in this pulpit, and y'all think he's just the greatest anointed thing. His socks still stink. But see, why am I bringing this up? This religion. It has to be brought down, and I guarantee you there's every one of us somewhere we have at least a little bit. And it'll cause us to miss God. It'll cause us to miss the ways of God. Just like Trump, for example. I heard one other day, I was just waiting for him to get done so I could mash up. Because I learned you better listen all the way to the end. Don't stop nearly to the end. And here he goes and he says these cuss words. And I thought, God, I ought to just put it anyway. I ought to just blow the whole, everybody that knows me that's religious, just right out of the water. And just let them start talking because I really don't give a rip. See, truth is truth no matter what package it comes in. But a lie is a lie no matter how good you make it sound and dial it up, the poop still stinks. But you got Christians out there, they don't believe Trump is of God because he says the words that I just said. When they hear that, they can't hear nothing else. Turn him off, he can't be of God. Oh, but I'm telling you, he is. And I'm telling you right now, if we do not win the physical and spiritual battle for this country, and not only this country, y'all ought to look, Europe is, they're like Venezuela nearly. It's all over the world. And if we don't win this next election, these battles that we're in the natural and the ones in the spirit realm, I'm telling you, there is no America as you know it anymore. And God is saying, y'all better get your religious stuff together. Get it out. Find out what I say. Find out the ones that I endorse, that I have chosen. It won't be by every time the ones you choose or that I would choose. But each one of us should have enough spiritual discernment on the inside and know enough of the Word of God to know which one God wants, to know what God is saying. Gosh, I got to stop because our time is up. Now, y'all pray for me. I may be in trouble with all that cussing when I get home, but it'll be all right, Jesus said. Y'all got anything y'all want to say or anything before we close?